NBA Australia, how are you going? It's Friday, 2GIF, am I right? March 8, all day. This is NBA Australia, and I am your host, James Clements. I'm the host of the Supercoach Official AFL podcast, AFL Today, this show. I don't know. I do lots of things. You can also see my ugly mug on Fox Sports Lab NBA. I'm here back in Lariama Studios, just hanging out. Had to look after the squid today. He's had another sort of rash flare up, so it's like, yeah, turns out you can't take them to daycare when they're just like covered in spots, bottomly pots all covered in spots. He's like, I'm fine, Dad. It's like, eh, are ya? He's like, I feel good, let's cause some havoc. I'm like, oh geez, buddy, can't take you in. So anyway, little bit of a later one for you Friday, but it's all good. This is a chaos day though. Anthony Edwards, you're a menace, I tell you. Carl Anthony Towns is out for a month, and why the Ben Simmons injury out for the rest of the year, wah, 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 is a blessing in disguise. We've got all the game wraps from today's games. We had some absolute crackers. That Denver-Boston one came right down to the wire. We've got that. We've got That's Not an Eye for Me, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yeah Nahs. We've got the Unpopular Opinion of the Day. We've got Outback Takeouts, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take. There is an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, a sweaty, hairy bloke of the week, and a preview for every single game over the weekend. And that'll include through till Tuesday, because there'll be no show on Monday because it's a public holiday and I will be travelling. So don't think I'll have time to actually do the show. But remember, you can watch this on YouTube. Go subscribe, go check it out. NBA Australia on YouTube. Like, subscribe, star that. Get around the AFL Today show as well, of course. Help a brother out, you know, just out here working hard for the people. So you got to go check all the stuff out, right? So you can watch this, you can listen to it, you can star it, all that good stuff. But without further ado, let's get into it, shall we? Episode 1049 of NBA Australia. I believe that means we should let's go.
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. I don't know, Shaq beat Kenny to the board today. That was pretty cool. Old mate was walking out when that was happening as well, because she'd sort of gotten home so I could, you know, do a little bit of work instead of looking after a very small child. And she's like, so why are they all laughing? And why did they race to the board? I'm like, I don't know if you'd understand. She's like, oh, I like Kenny. It's like, why? Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. You literally go, why do you like Kenny? It's like, no one knows. He doesn't add much. But anyway, you got to watch over the Shaq attack if you can, because you got beaten to the board. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the Daily. Oh, it's a whip crack sound, Jim. So it's probably the whip around man. That's right. Ben Simmons is done for the year. Well, the season. Can we fire it up? Oh, duh! He was never coming back with a back. It wasn't going to happen. The Nets say that he's out for the remainder of the season. He's going to consult with specialists and explores treatment options for the nerve impingement in his lower back. Now, we know you don't fuck with backs, but it does feel like he's been fucking around with his back. You know, there's so much stuff that goes into this, and it just sort of sucks more than anything. I would really like Ben Simmons to be healthy and playing basketball and not passing up open shots and not being a giant disappointment. But either way, look, he's been available for 332 of a possible 646 games in the last 8 seasons, and he's made $163 million in that time. He's going to get paid another $40 million for next year. Not bad. My favourite stat out of all of this is that, I'll tell you what, it is pretty remarkable when you figure out that Dwight Howard, a bloke who's been hanging out in Taiwan for the last couple of years, has actually played more NBA games than Ben Simmons since Game 7 of that Hawks series where Ben Simmons cowardly lined the pass under the bucket. Dwight Howard hasn't played since 2022. It's amazing, but it's also true and gross. I'll talk more about Simo and what this means for the Boomers a little bit later. But yeah, no giant surprises there. The Nets just look cooked. They lost today to the Pistons, which I'll talk about in a second. And yeah, pack her up, boys. That is a 1-2-3 Cancun team if you've ever seen one. Karl Anthony Towns is also out with a bit of a left meniscus injury. So he's going to be reevaluated in a month. The interesting wording in this reporting was that it's expected Towns will return by early in the Western Conference playoffs. It's expected. He might not. He's a big dude. And it does sort of feel like the bigger you are, the more pressure you're putting on your knees. It's just physics, bro. But also, meniscus tears, you don't want to screw with that. But it is one of those things that people have come back from pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens. It's a weird setup, but it's a big, big, big downer. I'll tell you what, for the Wolves. Wembanyama missed out today and will miss out the next game for the Spurs. And the Spurs almost actually still came back and beat the Kings today. The most dangerous lead in the NBA is the Sacramento Kings being up 20. And just go, yep, sweet. Pack her up, boys, we're done. It's like, dude, it's the start of the third quarter. Like, nah, we've already won this. It's like, no, you haven't. Boom. They absolutely crap their pants, and here we go. That's how it goes. But anyway, look, no Wemby today, and he's likely to miss the rest of the road trip. So they take on they took on the Kings today, and they take on the Warriors on our Sunday. So no Wemby, bit of a shame. And it was weird because Pop was like, yep, didn't even see this coming, bro. Apparently, he was listed as questionable for the Rockets game with left shoulder soreness, but played. But apparently during the game, tweaked his right ankle and was also, you know, favoring his hip. So he left it to go get retaped, played his normal minutes, didn't like take a shot after halftime. And then Pop was like, yeah, he didn't say a whole lot. So he didn't realize what was going on, basically. When you looked at the film, you're like, yeah, you're not moving, bro. So now he's taking care of it. Does Pop just like not talk to people? It's like, hey, Wemby, how you feel? He's like, yes, my foot is fucked. No. Nice. And Jalen Johnson, same sort of vibes. He's got a sprained right ankle, so he's going to miss the Hawks game tomorrow against Memphis, which is a dangerous game for the Hawks. And then the last little bit of news, there wasn't too much today. The Phoenix Suns will be the hosts of your 2027 NBA All-Star game, which is pretty cool, I guess. I mean, will it exist by then? That's more my question. You know, what is that going to be? Nobody knows, man. Nobody knows. But I think 2025, so next year is in San Francisco, 2026 is in LA, and now 2027 is in Phoenix, Arizona. It's so goddamn hot, but that's actually nice. Like, I think, yeah, I've been in Arizona, I want to say early December, and in Phoenix, while it was bitterly, bitterly cold back in New York. And it was the coolest thing in the world. You get off that plane, you're like, where are we? Why is it so warm? This is great. I've been frozen for 6 weeks. So, yeah, that's pretty good. Righto, that's it. Let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps.
That's right, the game wraps. Friday's games, we had Brooklyn losing Detroit basketball because they're the worst team. Just,
this is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
You're not wrong. Pack it up, Brooklyn. Got up in the second quarter, then gave up the ghost completely. And, like, Detroit had 23 turnovers, and Brooklyn are like, it's fine. You guys can still shoot 55%. She'll be fine. Mate, don't worry about me. Don't worry about it. We got you. Like, absolutely horrible. Dennis Schroeder had 31-8. Bridges was very bad again. He might be the worst best player a team has in the NBA, right? Like, if you look through all of the teams, you could still at least go, Charlotte, well, they've got LaMelo. That's kind of cool. Atlanta, it's like, well, we've got DeJounte and Trey. Like, Detroit, you'd even look at Cade Cunningham, and you're like, cool, laughing. Look, everywhere, even Toronto, it's like Scotty Barnes. Like, if you laid out every team and went, right, whose best player is going to basically get, I don't know, who would you not trade the best player on your team for for the next team's best player. And I think Mikal Bridges might be at the very, very bottom of that list. Because, yeah, I don't think Detroit would go, yeah, nah, Mikal Bridges over Kate Cunningham, man. Seems fair. The Wizards, maybe Kuzma, but at least Kuzma's putting up numbers. Bridges isn't even doing that. It's like there's this vibe where it's like, oh, he's getting better at basketball, but his numbers are much worse than they were. It's like, this is something of a logical fallacy. I understand where it's coming from, but geez. Because, like, if you think about the Spurs, they've at least got Wemby. The Blazers, they've got a combination of Anthony Penny-Simons, Jeremiah Grant. Look, they just keep putting up numbers. Bridges doesn't even do that. Memphis, obviously, they've got Ja. Houston, you've got a combination of Şengün, Jabari, Jaylen, whatever you want to say. Yeah, it might be the bleakest outlook in the NBA. Just saying. So you had 13 and 7 on 4 of 11 shooting today. 15 and 10 for Nicky Claxton, who's realized, hang on a second, I need to make a big contract next year. I should play better. And Lonnie Walker at 20 off the bench. Whatever. This team sucks. Cunningham, 32 and 11 with 5 rebounds and 4 made threes. He was fantastic in this game. But I'll tell you who was awesome. Jaden Ivey. 6 made threes. He had 34, 3 and 2 steals. You had Orsar Thompson with 14, 7 and 3. You had Jalen Duren with the classic 12 and 14. That's all he does. He just wakes up and gets a double-double. He also had 4 assists, 2 steals. Detroit notched their 10th win. That's right. The Wizards now are the worst team in the NBA as a standalone, 9-53. Detroit are 10-52. And Brooklyn, they just stink. 25-38. Gross. They just make me angry thinking about them. Minnesota Indy. So we talked about this at the top. Anthony Edwards, menace. He's a menace to the society and to Aaron Naismith, whose shot he blocked to win the game after hitting a bunch of shots down the stretch to get them over the hump, because he had 44 in the total. He had 16 of his 44 points in the fourth quarter. It was sick. Wolves got off to a flyer. Pacers dragged themselves back into it. Halliburton without Buddy Hield is becoming a weird conversation, but Siakam was very handy. Halliburton was very, very good. And the rest of it, you're sort of like, huh, what's going on with this team? And they're sort of hanging around, they're doing stuff, but it felt weird that they needed and wanted to get out of the Buddy Hield business as much as they did, because he made Halliburton so much more dangerous. Anyway, Siakam ends up with the 24 and 4. They had Turner with the 12 points, 7 rebounds and 4 blocks, 23 and 13 for Halliburton. And it's like, cool. Jalen Smith, 14 and 4, radical. Shepherd, when he hits a couple of threes, they look dangerous, but he only hit 2 today. So it's just, they couldn't quite get over the hump, and Siakam just wasn't quite that dude. Naismith went 2 of 10. Brutal. And the Wolves held him off. So Anthony Edwards goes for 44, 6, and 3 assists with 2 steals and 2 blocks because he's a menace to society. You had 18 and 14 for Rudy Gobert. This David Dewey. And you had 11, 8, and 6 for Jaden McDaniels. 13 and 8 for Naz Reid. Nick Alexander Walker had 10 off the bench as well. Mike Conley had a rough shooting night, going 1 of 6 from deep, but the Wolves pull it out purely based on how good Anthony Edwards is at basketball. Like the three that he hit with about, minutes ago, and then the sort of mid-range jumper that he nailed to basically get him up. Missed free throws. Yeah, that sucked, but still made up for it with that sick block on Naismith. Boom. Big win for the Wolves. They're 44-19. Now Indiana, 35-29. And that sort of puts them... Look, we talk about the West being just a mishmash of teams in the playoff play-in race. Indy are now a game back of Philly in this out of the 7-8 spot. So they're 8, Philly is 7th. They're pretty clear of Chicago, etc. But Indy should really be pushing, as the Knicks are struggling with injuries. The Heat are still trying to figure out what the hell they are. Like, Indy should be the prime candidate to jump up and be the 5 seed. And they keep just sort of dropping weird games like this. They're 5-5 in the last 10. It's a bit of a weird one. They just, I don't know. It's just a bit gross. Miami lost in Dallas. Oh, geez. 114-108 because Dante Exum was fantastic. Kangaroo Kobe goes bang right down the stretch. This was his best game coming back, since coming back from injury. Hit some clutch shots, some big free throws down the stretch as well, which is always nice. We had some Luka Magic. Yeah, Kyrie rolling. And when Dallas actually have, like, things firing on specific cylinders down the stretch, God, they look dangerous. But this felt like Miami's exceptionally weird, disjointed offense up against Dallas's exceptionally weird, disjointed defense. And it turned into basically two one-legged blokes having an ass-kicking contest, right? And in that situation, you're like, well, is the best player going to take over? And Dante Exum went, I will. Nah, Luka was incredible down the stretch. Like, the shots that he was pulling out his ass were just silly. He had another 30-point triple-double. The role players really, really helped, though. Like, Dante was fantastic. Kyrie was really, really good. Hit some big shots, too. And Miami just didn't have that, right? Butts had 14 points. He shot 6 of 12. He had 6 turnovers and 5 assists. Pretty brutal. He had BAM! Adebayo with 14, 9, 5, and 3. 5 of 14 shooting, however. And Terry Rozier had 27 points on 10 of 17 shooting. I'd like to have a beer with Duncan goes. 5 of 8 from 3. 19, 4, and 2. But that was kind of it. Jaime and Caleb Martin both had 13 off the bench. No Patty appearance, though. Heat went 17 of 38 from 3, but yeah, they sort of still let Luka and Kyrie dominate. 36, 11, and 11 for Luka. Bit silly. Kyrie, 23, 4, and 4. PJ Hamilton, Washington, shot 4 of 12, but he had 10 and 8 and a couple of big, big moments late. Hardaway had 11 points. He stinks, but Dante sex him up, Exum, 13 points. Huge win for Dallas. They needed that one desperately, and it was probably because I picked against him that they went, yeah, Jim. Blow it at your nose, mate. And you're like, yeah, right. 35 and 27 for Miami. And as I've sort of mentioned, right, they're right there in the thick of that East race, hanging out in six at the moment. It's a tough loss because they're right there with the sixes. Like, both Miami and Indy should be making hay while the sun shines as the sixes don't have Embiid, etc. But can't quite pull away. Good stuff, though. For Dallas, that really just steadied the ship because they were in extreme danger of slipping down to like the 9 spot with the Warriors and the Lakers. The Warriors getting a weird loss to Chicago today, which I did not like because I tipped the Warriors and the Lakers. They got a big game tomorrow. So a lot of weird stuff going on. Dallas, though, steady in the 8 spot. Toronto lost in Phoenix because Grayson Allen hit 7 threes in the first quarter, basically. Yeah, they're up 14 after the first quarter and sort of coasted from there. Raps sort of fought back a little bit, but 121-13, Phoenix win it. 28 for Gary, Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr., 5 of 13 from 3 for him. 23-4 for RJ Barrett. Okay, Canadian's favorite son, IQ. Emmanuel quickly had 21 points, 17 assists, and 9 rebounds. So close to the triple-double. Chris Bobby Boucher with 11-9. Grady Dick, 12 points on 4 of 10 from 3. The Suns, 35 more for 35. That's Kevin Durant, 11 and 19 shooting, 11 to 12 at the line. Beal had 20 and 8 assists. Grayson Allen goes 8 of 14 all up from 3, so he hit one more 3 after the first quarter. Ends up with 26 points. Nurk had a weird stat line of 7 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and 7 turnovers. Gross! The Suns sort of just held them at arm's length most of the game and sort of just, like, were steady in a win, which is kind of what the Suns needed to do in this game. And it's hard because you're just like, can we trust the Suns to just keep sort of doing this? Like, there was a moment in the fourth quarter where I think the Raps got it down to, like, I don't know, a 3-point game, right? Like, they'd come all the way back. But as we like to point out here on NBA Australia all the time, is that it's really fucking hard to, like, put all that time and effort in coming back from, like, being down basically 20 points, right? And, to then get that close, but to not get over the hump, it's a tale as old as time. It's because you're rooted by the time you're like, all right, we're 3 points. Ah, God damn it, they just scored on 3 straight possessions. Speaking of which, I was at the United game last night. That was sick. Down 16 in the fourth quarter game. Flying back. Absolute chaos gear. Loved it. And then one in the overtime. Anyway, Boston, Denver. What a game this was. Celtics never really had control. Like, they, speaking of teams that came flying back, Tatum had a shucker and never really asserted himself, but Jaylen Brown played his ass off and was absolutely everywhere. And Nikola Jokic went, well, that is cute. I'll just dominate. And that's what he did. God, he was good. Jamal Murray, they both hit buzzer-beating shots in the first half to end the first quarter and the second quarter, which was pretty weird. And Michael Porter Jr. wasn't doing too much, but the Celtics are just, they never really sort of clicked defensively against the whirring death machine of the Denver offense, right? Denver couldn't buy a three. And when they sort of open up that bigger lead in the fourth quarter, you're like, this one might be cooked. Like, they're basically, it was neck and neck essentially for a lot of this game, right? Like, just a few points in it, but after that first quarter, Boston had gotten up early, and then sort of by the middle of the third quarter, Denver started just, I think it was 68, it was 66-66, 68-68, with like halfway through the third quarter. And then Denver sort of started pulling away. MPJ hit a shot. Aaron Gordon was doing some stuff. And Joker and Jam and Jamal Murray, the two-man game. You know, a couple of threes from KCP as well. And you're like, Denver just sort of getting into a bit of a groove at home. And then Boston, right at the end, came flying back to get it down to two with a minute left. And they just could not quite execute down the stretch. The sick little hook pass from Joker to Aaron Gordon to essentially seal it. There's going to be a point where we just go, hey, what's going on with Boston late in games? Because it's getting a bit squirrely. But at the same time, they're 48-14, so you can't kick the can too far down the road, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, 115, the Nuggets win at 109. And for the Celtics, I mentioned Tatum. He had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. Shot 5 of 13 and 2 of 5 from downtown. The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Had a really good game, I thought, but missed too many shots where you're like, hit that zinger, and this is on like Kong. And it's like, it feels like that's the story of Kristaps Porzingis' career, right? Where you're like, gets buckets, but it seems and feels like he never hits an important bucket, which could be a problem for Boston as well. Just saying. But 24-12 is nothing to sneeze at. 9-23 shooting, though, however, that 24 points for the big fella. 3-10 from deep. Jrue Holiday, the 12-4, 7 points and 6 assists for Derek White, who's gone off the boil a couple of, in the last couple of games. 41-14-4 for Jaylen Brown. Not bad, bro. Not bad. But yeah, Xavier Tillman, Sam Hauser hit a couple of threes. That was it. They had 10 total points off the bench. And it sort of feels like Boston and Denver, they have these incredible starting units and then just don't get a journeyman off the bench. Al Horford, 0 of 2 in 19 minutes. He had 4 rebounds and 2 points. He was a minus 10. Bit tough. For Denver, I mean, what? Nikola Jokic, hello. 32-12-11. Can play a bit. 16-9 for Aaron Air Gordon. 19 for Jamal Murray with 8 assists. 5 turnovers, though. He had a couple of weird wonky ones, but the 19 points came of 7 of 18 shooting. He had a couple of flashes, and you're like, here we go, Jamal. But didn't quite dominate, and they were sort of up to Joker to do that. 11 for the notorious KCP, and 11 for Peyton Watson, which was... he's just like those sneaky... I love a good junk bucket guy, and Peyton Watson has a lot of Thad junk buckets young about him too, so enjoyed that. 2 of 7 for Reggie Jackson. But still, they went 4 of 21 from downtown, the Nugs. 4 of 21. I'm no math magician, but that's shit. And the Celtics went 11 of 38, but 12 turnovers to 7. Just Denver had just enough in the tank, and they had a dude named the Joker. And that's how they won this one. Fascinating matchup. Hook this one to my veins, though. This would be, dare I say it, a very fun NBA Finals matchup. Sacramento pulled one out their ass to hold on against the San Antonio Banderas Spurs. As mentioned, they're up 20 and then completely gave up the ghost, shit down their own pant leg and nearly lost. But hold on down the stretch. De'Aaron Fox, just legendary. But Sabonis numbers for days. For the Spurs, you had 22 for Zach Collins. You had 30 for Devin Vassell. He hit 4 of 7 from 3. Keldon Johnson hit 4 of 11 from 3 for 22. 23 for Malachi Branham. Jeremy Sochan, it's like, can you do a little bit, buddy? He's like, oh, I've got 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, bro. And you're like, yeah, also 5 fouls and 2 turnovers. Anyway, chaos gear without Wemby. And you kind of want to go, oh, are they better without Wembanyama? No. But the Kings, look, 31-17-9 for the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, and 33-5-5 for De'Aaron Fox. Coming off a massive game yesterday, that's huge. To like just notch this win, 18 for Malik Monk as well. Kevin Huerta, a bit of a spud, 0 of 5, but Harrison Barnes, big buckets for 17 points. This was just a silly, weird game where the Kings, it's like they just lose focus. I've talked about this time and time again. It's just a Mike Brown team. They lose focus, and you're like, what are you doing? Just take the ball off him. He's spinning it on his finger. Like, that's just what the fucking Kings feel like, right? The Spurs got up in the fourth quarter and it took a massive rally. Like, what were they up? It was like 6 or something like that. And this, like, might have been eight, yeah. There was like this crazy moment. They're like, oh, God, Sacramento are just shitting right down. But then Fox goes nuts and just keeps scoring buckets down the stretch. And Harrison Barnes chucked in some really good ones too. And then the Souvlaki King. After Malik Monk ties it up with 23 seconds left, there is an awesome Souvlaki King steal and then the slam. And that's game with seven seconds left. Like, it was absolute chaos. Fun game, but it's just so hard to get away from. Hey, Sacramento, stop doing dumb shit. Like, that's basically what it is, right? And then finally, Chicago beat the Warriors in just like sure territory. 125-122. You had Steph heating up. He's like firing. And then it just completely sputtered and went out. It's like, you know, when you light the Barbie and like your gas tank is basically just cooked and you haven't checked and you're like, oh, God damn it. Gotta go to the servo and fuck, I just gonna cook these fucking chops. 15 points. He was plus nine, Steph, in a game they lost by three in his 29 minutes. He did, however, shoot 5 of 18 and 3 of 12 from downtown. Draymond had 11, 10, and 12, aka the J-Kid triple-double. 9, 10, and 10 for Comeback at Kuminga, who was really, really good. 25 for Clay, hit 5 of 12 threes. 15 for Chris Paul as well with 5 assists. And it's just like, ah, right. But if Steph doesn't do okay, you're rooted. And that's sort of what it comes down to. Pods at 11, 4, and 4. The Cumbucket sort of ascension continues. He was really, really good in this game. I was watching this like intently because, look, I just love this uniform matchup, right? Always really good. And it didn't matter because DeMar and Vooch just had their way with them. And it wasn't even like a crazy Kobe White game where you're like, well, Kobe went sick and here we are, they get the win. No, it was just like methodical from DeRozan there and Vooch. And like the Bulls controlled this from about the second quarter on, which was crazy to think. So the Warriors, just not quite enough. They go 11 of 42 from three. And like that's kind of, you know, if that's going to be your outing for the Warriors, you're probably going to lose that game. Not too many sort of plan Bs. Whereas for the Bulls, they hit 16 threes, and it's like, that's not what you usually do. DeMar DeRozan was like watching Steph Curry and went, I can do that. Went 3-6 from three. He ends up with 33-8-4, 33-11-5 for Vooch, and 20 points, 7 assists for my man Kobe White. Ayo! Dosunmu had 14 as well with 6 assists, 2 of 5 from downtown. You had Jevion Carter hit 2 threes. You had old mate Bittum! Onal Rap Bittum hit a couple of threes as well. Love the Turkish kid. Not bad, bro. Not bad. He's a weird-looking unit too. And they hold on for a win. Now the Bulls are 31-32 and the Warriors are 33-29. The Bulls sneaking ever so closer to being at 500. I forgot to mention and rattle off the... So the Kings are seventh now after that win. Like, that's a huge win because you got the Mavs still behind you, right? So they're 36-26. And the Spurs are on the bottom of the West at 13-50. But chaos gear. And there you go. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night. This one's pretty easy. I'll tell you that much for today. Jeez, oh jeez.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That'd probably go to Anthony Edwards for the game-saving block. And also all the points that he scored in the fourth quarter to save the game. He was unreal. They were unreal. What an outing. 44 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, including the game sealer. 2 steals, shot over 50% from the floor, 42% from 3. He was absolutely ridiculous. Did everything. Just looked like, I don't know, taller Dwayne Wade at times. And you're like, Jesus, is this like stockier Jerry Stackhouse? Like, what is happening here? Awesome game. Loved it. Ant-Man. And of course, the Souvlaki King with the steal and the slam at the end. To like put the just the cherry on top. But I mean, you also let your team almost completely give up the ghost and lose to the Spurs without Wemby. So it's a bit hard to go, oh, geez, great job, Souvlaki King. He's like, Jim, I had 31-17-9. What more do you want me to do? I don't know. Not get down to the Spurs in the fourth bloody quarter? Just saying. Anyway, Ant-Man. Today was Ant-Man. He saw the way that he scores is so varied and so bloody fun in games like this, where Indiana, not known for their defense, But the way that he got up for that game-saving block is just stupid. Like, he jumped, and then it's like he almost jumped again mid-air. He just kept going up. It's like, that doesn't seem real. It's like, is AI taking over what we're seeing on the basketball court now? But god damn, he was good. Like, he hit his, like, what, shoulder basically on the rim. You know how high you have to jump to hit your shoulder on the rim? You've got an entire head on your shoulders. And he got his shoulder on the rim. Absolute chaos gear. Anthony Edwards, you legend. I'm going to talk about him again later. What about Spud of the Night?
Spud of the Night.
Talked about Kevin fucking Huerter going 0-5. So did Saban Lee. A couple of spuds there. But you also had the 2 of 10 for Aaron Naismith and also got blocked by Ant-Man. You had 1 of 6 for Okjay Agbaji. Mike Conley goes 1 of 6 from downtown for 2 of 9 overall. Not a giant day for the Spuds overall, really. But, like, Sacramento came very close to just being a full Spud team for a minute there, which is pretty fun. Not ideal, of course. And then you also had, I think, what was it, 3 of 10 shooting for Jeremy Sochan? I already mentioned him. For Boston, like, you kind of don't want to throw Tatum into the Spud of the Night, but the 5 of 13 inability to sort of take over that game against Denver, it's like, yeah, this is like why I guess you're not, like, legitimately in the top of the MVP conversation. Like, oh, I might be fifth, man. So, yeah. So, but I would like to thank the one, the only, Tim Hardaway the Lesser. Why is that, Jim? Well, it's because he went and shot.
Chill! Right on my side as my ego becomes a fucking child with some words on my tongue. Be like in, take a breath, and my mouth gets loose. So while I scatter my spit, I dream of juice. Have you ever made out in a darker way? This place, I kiss the major day. Say, play the track from your record collection. It's your mix. Congratulations, in a line of dreams.
Oh, yeah, he went and shot 311. Thank you, Tim Hardaway, the lesser. Who's old mate no mates?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? That would be Aaron Naismith because he got his shit blocked. I didn't mind the approach of, like, yeah, look, screw it. We're just going to go for the win, bro. Just go, Aaron. It's like he had a really good look. He was driving to a bit of traffic. But the old mate, no mate's, like, measuring stick tends to be, hey, what's going on? And if you then go get on the team bus after the game, is everybody like this fucking guy? Don't know. What were you shooting before that one there, Aaron? He's like 2 of 9. They're like, fucking sit at the back, dickhead. It's a really tough one. And that kind of also leads to pantsing because it's the same thing.
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
Yeah, tough one. Fatty, fat, 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 pantsing the night. Naismith, like, anytime you can be on the end of a game-saving ceiling block, you don't want to be there, right? Like, it is just a absolute pantsing of the highest order. So, bit of a bloody rough one. I'll tell you what. Not great. Not ideal. Tough day for Aaron Naismith. Like, it's just a really hard, like, bus ride back where you're just like, yeah, boys, sorry, screwed that one. It's like, yeah, you did. Could have won that game. Oh, well. Old mate, no mates as well. Kind of a bit of the old Ben Simmons vibe, isn't it? It's like, everyone's like, all right, sure. How the mighty have fallen. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
I'll tell you what, I love the Jaden Ivey game. Like, even though today, look, you know, Brooklyn stink. They suck. But 34 points, 10 of 17, shooting 6 of 9. Nice. From 3, 8 of 8 at the free throw line. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 turnovers, 2 steals. Played his ass off. And 34 is, of course, better than Lonzo Ball's career high of 33. But this is the sort of player that you're like, that's exactly who Detroit need next to Cade Cunningham. This is who they envision next to Cade Cunningham. It's like, we have 2 playmakers. We've got 2 ball handlers. We've got 2 dudes who can at least sort of shoot, put it on the ground, just do a little bit of everything. And when it clicks like it did today and they score, what, 34 and 32, you're like, well, This is great. They were playing Brooklyn, though, who spiritually are already in Mexico. So, and it's like the start of March. This is going to be a painful month for all seven Nets fans. So, rough one. But Jaden Ivey today, better than Lonzo Ball. Everyone's favorite segment of the day. I had a great start to my day in Ottawa, Canada, this morning at the 2024 Reality Conference. That's right, Real Itty. It's not reality, it's Real Itty Conference. It's a capital R-E-A-L, small I-T-Y, so Reality Conference. I spoke to 1,200, I love that you can't just have 1,200, 1,200 business professionals about not just playing the game, but changing the game. Thank you to Ontario Real Estate Association CEO Tom Hudak for inviting me and Ryan Saravelle for introducing me on stage. I had an amazing time. Thanks, Magic. I mean, just approach every day with the relentless optimism of Magic Johnson and you will not go wrong, I think. Speaking of which, Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week!
It's Draymond Green. Draymond Green and Paul Pierce talking out on that show. That was pretty fun. But even Draymond having a crack at Jaylen Brown the other day. Jaylen Brown's a 34% three-point shooter going into the game. You're not overly worried that he's going to start hitting threes, but he did. I don't know. It just feels a bit rich coming from a bloke who shoots like he's wearing a fucking backpack, Draymond. Like, I'm not even a Celtics fan. Many would say far from it. But to be like, yeah, we'll just leave Jaylen Brown open just seems like a really fucking dumb way to get your ass kicked. And that's what happened to the Warriors, right? They fucking got absolutely straight killed.
He got straight killed.
And, yeah, Jaylen Brown. Like, I can think of substantially worse approaches to leaving a dude open. So in that game that they won by, remember, what was it, 62 points? Yeah. He went 5 of 10 from 3. Yeah, 29-3-3. I don't know. Seems like Draymond, that's a bit of a dickhead move. So I've been holding on to that one since, like, was on Tuesday he said that. And then came back and said, Draymond said to Paul Pierce, I don't want a farewell tour. I can't because somebody's going to do me like I said to you and then I'm fucked. Paul Pierce is like, I'm coming to them games and I'm going to yell the same things you yelled at me. Please announce your last year. I fucking love Paul Pierce. What a legend. That is just great. So Draymond. The Draymond Green Dickhead of the Week Award once more goes to Draymond Green. All right, let's do some yeah nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're
listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs, brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Yeah, do it. NBAAustralia.com/shop or just click through on the merch links in the socials. They're all just there, mate. Just go nuts. Also, go subscribe to the YouTube or I'll fight you. Like, I'm taping this. I'm putting it all up. Go check it out. It's a bit of fun. But, yeah, nahs, good times, great memories. Had a cracking one last night. It was good to see Dan. He sent one through as well. Yeah, nah. Dele's shooting last night shows that he could help an NBA contender. Surely the Magic could use a backup point guard that can actually defend. Or maybe the Kings realize the laser only worked because Dele was there. Yeah, nah. Yeah, look, you're not going to find much more of a stringent defender of all things King Dele than me. I was fucking beside myself watching him score 30 points in an NBL fucking playoff game. I'm like, this is great. And NBA teams should probably just go, we know the shot looks ugly, but it is effective. And that dude does love fucking playing his little heart out. So, yeah. Look, I think teams that could have used a Patty Mills sort of injection of shooting off the bench could probably also use a bit of Dally coming in to sort of just give them a bit of heart, a bit of grit. To be honest, it's even like a team like Brooklyn that just has fucking no direction. You go get a Dally and just like, this is what happened with the Kings last year. The Kings could definitely use him back. The Nets could definitely use him. It's a team like, I don't know why Memphis didn't kick the tires. I mean, they're sort of just gone, right, the fucking season's done. We're cooked. Fine. So I kind of get that. But if you look at the Kings, if you think about the Jazz, the T-Wolves would fucking love Dally. Do you know how much? Like, he would do a full Jimmy Butler on Karl Anthony Towns again. But Dally, look, I think he could still offer the NBA a little bit of something-something, bit of coach on the floor, coach on the sideline, get out there. Like, the fact that he's out there still in the NBL, diving for loose balls, scoring 30, causing all sorts of fucking havoc. It's awesome. Another team that could actually sort of use him, I think, obviously, hit on the Magic. But why wouldn't Cleveland bring him back? That is a team that desperately needs, like, that one extra dude off the bench who's just a fucking hard nut. He's already there. We've already got the jerseys. Like, let's fucking go. It's a good one there from Dan D. And he also said, I want to punch Grayson Allen, a.k.a. Johnny Storm Mark II. 8-9 from three in less than 15 minutes is taking the piss. Yeah, nah. I don't want to punch him, so I'm going to say nah, because he's on my fantasy team, and I'm in a dog fight for, I don't know, to avoid the relegation battle, basically. So, in the ball A-League. Oh. It is rough as guts. So I'm loving the Grayson Allen just going fucking absolute. He's on fire, going full NBA jam shit. Love that. Hate to go against it. Mickey C. Michael Crawford sent through. Well, he actually just sort of, it was like a bit of a Twitter comment that I wanted to use in it as a yeah, nah. Tim Hardaway's minutes need to be split between Exum and Hardy. Hopefully Exum stays healthy for the last stretch of the season. Love seeing Aussies on the Mavs. Yeah, nah. Look, I think if you've listened to me for a while, Tim Hardaway the lesser is like a very special bugbear of mine where I just think it's very, very rare that he's out there winning you games. And it's very, very, very often that he tends to help lose you games. So if Exum is healthy, God, he makes a difference. I think I tweeted out, like, good Dante Exum makes the Mavs just fucking unreal. And so if you have to give Exum more minutes at the expense of someone like Tim Hardaway the lesser, considering we've already got a taller version of Tim Hardaway the lesser and PJ Hamilton Washington, like, shovel some of that towards Exum and away you go. I like that Croft is like talking about Hardy. I worry about Hardy just because of the sheer lack of defense. Like, if you want, like, Exum is great because he's sort of a split between the playmaking, a little bit of the shooting here and there. Hardy is just like fucking gunner. Hardaway is as well, but he's a little bit more polished, but I don't know. I like the Exum call. Not so much sure about the Hardy, but I feel like we can find a balance where Tim Hardaway, the lesser's minutes come down, Exum's go up, and you find a happy middle ground. Cat's injury. Does this sink Minnesota? Yeah, nah. It might sink their chances of taking out the one seed. They're 44-19. Ant-Man just went off to get them a much-needed win over Indy. They're a half game up on OKC and only one game up on Denver. It doesn't sink them. It fucking hurts them, I'll tell you that much. For the short term. Long term, it probably helps. And I'll get to that in a second in Outback Takehouse. But I think without Cat, you've already got Naz Reid. You've got sort of dudes that can step in next to Rudy, next to Ant-Man. And I think they're okay. The problem is it sort of sinks them just as they readjust. Probably for the next week, it'll be a little bit wonky to watch this Wolves team. And he's a wildly talented big dude, his Cat. A really good shooter. I don't know if it sinks them overall. Probably sinks their chances of getting the one spot, though. Just saying. All right. And then, right, let's do it. Jim, is the Ben Simmons out for the rest of the season while I figure out my back shit? A blessing in disguise for the Boomers. Yeah, nah, yes, of course it is. Now we don't have to equivocate and be like, geez, should Ben Simmons be in the Boomers? Is he one of the best players we've got? Geez, I don't know if he should do it. Has he even earned it? This bloke never fucking plays for the Boomers. Piss off, dickhead. Sorry, mate, but the best ability is availability. Don't piss down my leg and tell me it's raining. Hey, man, I'm just taking off this summer to, like, work on my game. Narrator, he did not work on his game. Like, this is now an extremely long time into Ben Simmons' career. We've had a few chances of him representing the Boomers, and he's turned his nose up at it, and now it's like, well, my back's a bit sore, man. I've got to sit out the rest of the season. It's fucking great for the Boomers because you just go, cool, not even a question now. Fuck off, Ben. Go get healthy. We're hoping for you. Best of luck, pal. But right now, we don't really care. Because now, the Boomers can just go, cool. Josh Giddey, Patty Mills, Josh Green, Dante Exum, Dyson Daniels. We don't have to stress about having too many point guards or guards. Even Greeny can play upright to the three in FIBA. Same with Aussie Matty T. We saw that during all this sort of Olympic and FIBA runs as well. You got Jingles, you got Cooks, you got White, you got Duop, you've got Jock, you've got a slew of sort of other big dudes. It's the only sort of like problem is like, I don't know, we sort of still need like a bustling big power forward. And if like Cooks, White, maybe you can sort of fill that role. It always sort of felt like the Ben Simmons thing didn't really help the Boomers too much. Like, I don't know if his style of play was exactly what the Boomers would have needed. So now Gorge can just go into this and go, Josh Giddey with Patty Mills, with Greeny, with Dyson. Like, that's a great, fun, awesome guard rotation. Maybe you got Deli, maybe you got Bubbles, you got Jingles on his last legs, that kind of shit. I think it just provides the Boomers with a lot more clarity in what their lineups can and can't be, and you can actually direct your style of play with fewer questions. So this is fucking great for the Boomers. You don't want to like say, oh, it's good that he got injured, but it's actually kind of good. God. Hopefully he gets healthy soon, though. Like, that's all. Never fucking take me wrong for this. I want the best for Ben Simmons, and I think the best is getting fucking healthy and just playing basketball. The rest of this shit sucks. Just get healthy, pal, and get out there on the fucking court. This is why you don't sit out a year because your fucking feelings got hurt. Jesus. Because then you turn around and go, hang on a second, have I wasted a vast majority of my fucking prime? Yes, you have. Tell you what, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Oh, we saw it again. Ah, Tony Brothers. He must have been so threatened by Jaylen Brown clapping after missing a call against him. Fine the refs. I'm going to keep yelling. Violently clap it. He clapped once, twice. It's Jaylen Brown. Draymond Green goes off. He's fucking nut. And there's no tech foul. Tony Brothers goes, hey, clapped. Fuck him. Tech foul. You're like, fucking pull your head in, dickhead. Fine the refs. For this shit. Fuck off. All right, very quickly, our back take us. It's Friday at our back. You know what that means? Oh, yeah. 4-for-1 tasty oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right. It's definitely not horse piss in a can. And it's only at our back. And today's flame grill take is, without Carl Anthony Towns bumming up the bloody joint, Anthony Edwards is going to rise into the true superstar he can be. And the Wolves will still get swept in the first round of the playoffs. Only at Outback. This is basically because if you look at the matchups. So as soon as they the reports had, oh, Carl Anthony Towns early in the Western Conference playoffs. It's like, how fucking early? Because if it's not within the first couple of games, the Wolves could be in a lot of fucking trouble. I know that Nazareth's good. McDaniels is good. They've got a bit of depth when it comes to the big men. It might turn out that Naz is almost a better fit with Ant, and Ant can go fucking completely off chops for the last month of the season, which he probably will, and that'll be awesome. But I think it does definitely put a ceiling on like their playoff chances. So, and especially when you look at the teams that they could be playing in the first round, right? So if they say, so Nuggets are only one game back, a half game back, okay, so they slip to three. Suddenly the Wolves could be playing someone like the Suns, the Pelicans, Mavs, Kings, whoever. And you go into that and go, whoa, don't know if the Wolves are going to be favorites. Like, especially someone against like the Suns. Like, Jesus. KD, Booker, and Beal up against this Wolves team of Cats sort of only just coming back. it is a tough ask. It's a really, really tough ask. So I worry for the Wolves. Right. Let's get in the Australian Player Watch. Let's go straight into it. It's a long weekend, so we're going to piss off down the beach tonight. So I got to get out of here and jump in a car at some point. So in terms of the Aussies today, who did we actually have? We had no Box Hill Benny, obviously, as mentioned, out for the season against the Detroit Basketball Pistons. We had the two Dallas gentlemen, Josh Greeny Green, in that Miami game. Greeny had 19 minutes, 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Kind of filling the gaps, but Dante went absolutely ham. 13 points. He was a plus 16 in 17 minutes. He shot 3 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 2 from 3, 5 of 5 at the line, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, as mentioned, his best game since returning from injury. So that was bloody good. And in terms of the other Aussies, like, that's it, because we had no Patty Mills. He got a did-not-play coach's decision against Dallas and his mates. That's probably what cost Miami the game. Spoelstra not throwing Patty out there to talk shit to Greeny and Exum, go, all right, dickheads, fucking fall in line. Where they would have gone. But good stuff. All right, Andrew Goes Grand Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first and you won the Andrew Goes Grand Mumba Award. That's right, Luka. So, fifth straight 30-point triple-double. That's tied for the longest streak in NBA history. You might remember me saying that, yeah, it was the Big O and Rusty Westbrook back in 2017 who had that as well, and that is what Luka has now done. He's also now got four straight 35-point triple-doubles, which is the longest streak in NBA history. That is pretty, pretty impressive. Sweaty, hairy bloke of the week. We gave it to Şengün earlier this week. We could also give it to the Souvlaki King with his game winner today. That dude looked cooked. He's like, I'm going to make it. Going to make it. Hooray, I scored. We're going to win the game. It was amazing. So, great job by the Souvlaki King. We love you. Şengün, though, the way he was just so sweaty earlier in the week was hilarious. All right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. We've got some Jock Landale and Dante Exum updates, I believe, on the old socials. So, where did the Dante post go? You're breaking my heart. Well, the Jock Landale one is just him walking in wearing shorts and a t-shirt, well, long-sleeve shirt, and his coffee mug, coffee cup. Hopefully that's reusable there, Jock. What are you doing, mate? And we should bring up the idea of the Dante Exum one, because it was another one where he was walking in as well. Yeah, he was walking, there we go, walking in wearing the very cool Rude hoodie. It looks very sharp. The new Tissot Mavs walk-in. Exum, looking good. Well played, sir. Well played. He's a handsome lad. Dante just knocking in buckets from the corner. Jeez, you could have told that he was going to have a massive game today. The way he was just absolutely fucking nailing threes. And then Dante X him. That's a horrible name, Mavs. Dante X him. That's like talking about his ex or something. It just sounds weird. Stop doing it. Right, let's do some game preview.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Yeah, it'd be all good once I got a tin in me and I'm, like, down the beach. Tell you what, sweating like a bloody priest near a preschool at this point. But, yeah, we got smashed on today's picks. Absolutely nowhere near them. We might have actually pulled off an epic offer. How did we go? So we went Brooklyn, Detroit, no. Indy, no. Miami, no. Phoenix, no. Boston, no. Hey, we covered with San Antonio. No Warriors. So, Jesus, did we go one for... How many games were there today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We went 1 of 7 today. Brutal gear. Warriors cooking it, not ideal. Boston were right there. Phoenix were smashing Toronto and then gave up the ghost. Miami came very close. They had an open three at the end that would have actually covered, but instead they lose. And then Mini just had that awesome, awesome, awesome Ant-Man game to cover that game against Indy. So Indy did not. Tomorrow, though, we have Charlotte at Washington. I'm going to take the Wizards. The Wizards, they are actually favorites in that, which is hilarious, -3.5. They've lost 16 straight games, and they're favorites in this game. I'm actually going to take the Wiz, I think, especially at home. This will be the game where they snap that losing streak. New Orleans at Philly. They're too big, too good, too deep for a Philly team that's just still just beside itself with injuries. Give me the Pels in Philly. Cleveland host Minnesota. Minnesota on a back-to-back. The Cavs also dealing with their own injuries, but between Garland and Allen, they should probably just have enough to get by this tough Minnesota team that's playing on a back-to-back on the road, having just played in Indy as well. Orlando go to New York. I'm taking the Magic. I don't know where they're half-point underdogs, but I will take the Magic men in a heartbeat in New York against the Knickerbockers. We have Atlanta going to Memphis. As mentioned, Jalen Johnson is not playing that game. This could be a bit of an upset for the Grizzlies, but it's only a 2.5-point line. I think the Hawks just pull it out. If the line was a bit bigger, I'd sway back over to Memphis just because they play really goddamn hard in Atlanta. Well, they don't. But give me the Hawks minus 2.5 and they just sneak out a win. Miami go to OKC. The Heat today obviously losing in Dallas. The Thunder just waiting for them. Give me the Thunder. You got Patty going to hang out with Giddy. That's going to be fun. Give me OKC minus 8.5. Milwaukee, half-point underdog. Oh, half-point favorites against the Lakers. I'll take Milwaukee. I think they're just a little bit too good defensively for this Lakers team that may or may not have LeBron. So I'll take the Bucks. LeBron's nursing an ankle injury. Giannis is nursing a fucking Achilles. It could be like this huge big ballyhooed thing that neither of them play, but I reckon they both should. Houston at Portland. I'm going to take the Blazers plus 5.5 just because, again, that's a team that just sort of plays pretty hard and Houston stink on the road. Sunday, we're going Chicago Clippers. We're going to see the Clippers win that one, I reckon. Should be a pretty fun game, though. Chicago just... they're the most infuriating team. One of the most infuriating teams in the league. It's like them, Dallas, Sacramento. All cut from the same sort of cloth, you know. But I'll take the Clippers. Just the wing power there should be too good. Brooklyn in Charlotte. I just can't take the Nets. I'm not going to. I'm not going to put myself through it. They're just bad at basketball and they stink. And then they'll play like a randomly good, okay game against someone like Charlotte. And you're like, why did I ever tick Charlotte? But I'm taking the Hornets in that one. Dallas go to Detroit. The Mavs should be too good, even though, look, they love. I would probably still go Detroit at the line once it comes out against Dallas, but we'll take Dallas head to head. Boston Phoenix is a ripper on Sunday. I'm going to take Phoenix. The Celtics have lost back-to-back games, I think, for what, the first time this year. I think Phoenix could actually make it a third. KD up against Tatum and stuff. Phoenix are kind of just cruising along. Golden State host San Antonio. The Warriors will probably win that without the Spurs having Wemby. Denver take on Utah. The Nuggets should be way too tough. Toronto in Portland. Interesting one, but the Blazers on a back-to-back. I'm going to take Toronto. Just, you saw it today. There's a little bit of fight going on. Clippers host Milwaukee. After having played the Chicago Bulls the day before, Bucks, Clippers. I actually don't mind the Clippers. Even on a back-to-back, there's just a bit of, like, again, the wing depth to sort of go, hey, Giannis, blow it out your nose. A couple of nights in LA for the Bucks, they might be a little bit dragged out, you know what I'm saying? New Orleans go to Atlanta. They'll be too big and too tough. Washington in Miami. The Heat should smash for Washington. Orlando host Indy. That's a great game on Monday morning. I'll take the Magic at home. Their defense might just be able to stymie Indy enough. Sacramento host Houston. The Kings should win that. You never know there with the Kings, though, so I'd be interested to see what that line is, but I'll take the Kings head-to-head. Philly go to the Knicks. This feels like a weird, tricky one. You know that if like Maxey is back from his concussion, I think Philly can win that. Give me the Sixers, especially if Maxey plays. If he doesn't, maybe not. Brooklyn go to Cleveland. Cleveland should win that as well. Memphis, OKC, the Thunder, no problems there. And Lakers host Minnesota. I am tagging Minnesota with a loss there again as well after the game in Cleveland that I mentioned. Then on Tuesday, because we won't do a Monday show as mentioned, we'll be too busy traveling. So back on Tuesday next week, Charlotte go to Detroit. I'm taking the Pistons in that one because that's just funny. Phoenix go to Cleveland. I'll take the Suns against the Cavs on Tuesday. Then we have Dallas-Chicago, one of the great uniform matchups. That's the Chris Anstey Bowl. Dallas versus Chicago. Not bad. I'll take the Mavs in Chicago. Golden State, San Antonio, the home and home. I'm going to go the Warriors to go back-to-back against the Spurs. Toronto, Denver. That's a Nuggets win. And Boston, Portland. The Celtics can sleepwalk their way to a win on Tuesday. And that's when we'll be back. We'll wrap up all those games and all the weekend ones for a big, big, big long weekend because Victoria has a public holiday and we are away for the weekend. So, I just can't do the Monday show just because it'll be too late and we'll be in the car. So, bit of a tough one, but so we'll be back on Tuesday. Good times. But you can, in the meantime, hear me on AFL Today. We'll have a Sunday show. I've got the microphone, so we're going to tape the AFL round zero opening round wrap-up show on Sunday for that. So go check out AFL Today. It is now up on your podcast apps, which is very cool. But yeah, that's it for this week for NBA Australia. We'll be back on Tuesday. In the meantime, get around all the shows that I'm on. AFL Today, the official Supercoach AFL show. That's a good time with Alan and Tim. And of course, AFL Today, though, look, you can jump on the socials for that. So YouTube, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. But obviously, there's the Cricket Today podcast, the Football Today podcast, all the stuff that we do. Go check it out, would you? And rate, review it, star it, all the good stuff on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, especially YouTube. You can see like the amount of work and effort that our man Gerald and Homie, our mans, the producers, put into this shit is awesome. So go check it out. It does help out heaps. We appreciate it. Thanks heaps, yo. Also, get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch. Get your merch. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, their new band, Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, 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 and Dozers. All the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. So should you. All right, we'll just chuck a classic Cooking with Bainesy on to the end of the audio version of this. For the video, this will be it. But have a great weekend if you're in Victoria, if you're wherever the rest of the Labor Day weekend is. Have a great long weekend, or just have a great normal weekend. I'll speak to you on Tuesday, you dickheads. Remember, YouTube, go check it out. AFL Today Show, NBA Australia, get around them. Look at my smiley face. Rag on me as much as you want. Jump in the comments, talk some shit, either way. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And, later, Hosanna!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. G'day, g'day, g'day. Yes, how are you all? Oh, look at yous over there. I see you over there again, Cheryl. Yes, we know that you love it. Oh, this is great. Yeah, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I am your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. All right, so this here episode, we're going to whip up one of my absolute favourite Australian staples. You can have it whenever as well, at night, for dinner, after a big night on the Terps. It's that absolute Aussie classic. It is Hawaiian pizza. Oh, yes, that's right. I love me some Hawaiian pizza, and it's easy as to make, mate. I mean, it definitely helps keeping up this physique, if you know what I mean. I reckon I probably cook about three of these bloody things a week, you know what I'm saying? And also, hey, just for yous out there as well, don't bloody listen to anyone who says shit about pineapple on pizza. They can go and do what I tell every center in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. They can go fuck themselves, all right? You can put whatever the fuck you want on pizza. It's pizza. All right, so anyway, Hawaiian pizza is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and grab yourself a pizza base. I love the spongier, thick ones, you know. Grab a thing of tomato paste. Now, don't bother with the fancy pants shit with basil or oregano in it unless you want to be like all fancy pants and shit. Because then you just grab a bunch of shredded ham from the deli. Grab a bag of shredded cheese. Now you can have mozzarella, cheddar, home brand, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's just bloody cheese. And the key ingredient, a tin of pineapple chunks. Now, it's pretty easy to whip this bad boy up, so let's get to it. All right, here we go. Now, just whip your base out. There you go. All right, now smother it with the tomato paste. Well, yep, there you go. Smooth her out a bit. Just make sure it's all over the inside thing. Now, dump your ham on there. Yep, all this shredded ham. Now, oh, get your fingers amongst that. Shove that to the edges. There you go. Spread that out nice and even. Yep, there you go. All right, now cover this liberally
with the dead pig. Come on, man. You got to put the ham everywhere. Just need heaps and heaps and heaps of ham. Just make sure it's the nice shredded stuff, though. All right. Now, drain your pineapple into the sink. Or you can drain it into a cup and drink that pineapple juice, you know. What bloke doesn't like a cup of pineapple juice, you know what I'm saying, ladies? There we go. Now, fang the chunks of pineapple on there. Just put it everywhere, you know, just throw it around. And then cover up the entire bloody thing with your shredded cheese. All right. Now, we've got this oven over here. Just wang her in there in the oven. There you go. Just for a good 15, 20 minutes at about 220 degrees Celsius. None of that Fahrenheit bullshit. Now, sit back, grab a tin, and let her cook. Oh, doesn't that bloody well smell delicious? All right, now here's one we made a little bit earlier. So you can see once it's browned a bit on the edges and all your cheese is all melty and nice, you whip her out, you chop her up into slices, and Bob is your bloody pizza-loving uncle. Now, give it a sec to cool down before you chow down. Don't burn your bloody tongue because that cheese will be hot as buggery, eh? So, all right, now it's there. Just get your bloody munch on. And that is an absolute bloody ripper of a meal. The best bit is, and this will impress everyone, right? You can cook it whenever you want. Mates, the missus, kids, everyone bloody loves Hawaiian pizza. And if they don't, just give them the old bangers, don't argue, and go tell them to cook their own bloody pizza. Because this is just bloody delicious, mate. All right, how easy was that? Cool, there you go. That is absolutely unreal. Love me some Hawaiian pizza. All right, so that's it for this week. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.